and Big Rock Telluride Inside and Out. Speaking with Telluride Film Festival director Gary Meyer. The subject this now is are the tributees. Gary, thanks for joining me once again. So please talk briefly about the mix you are after when choosing your trio of tributees. I know one is usually a superstar, and George Clooney fit that bill last year, Marion Cotillard this year, but the other two, is one always a foreign talent?
There's no formula. Yes, I think it winds up being that there's a superstar, and usually there's a director, and then that third category just depends on what we like that we come up with. We had on our list of ideas for tributes composers, writers, directors, actors, producers, a whole range of different people. And when we start seeing the films that are available and the festival's coming together is when we start thinking more seriously about what that mix of tributes is going to be. And we'd like it to be that at least one of them is somebody who maybe is not so well known by the larger audience. And so obviously Mads Mikkelsen fits into that, but because he's recognizable from some of the big studio films that he's been in, most particularly Casino Royale is the villain in that, people will say, oh, I know who he is. Well, he's good looking. He's a good actor. And hopefully they'll come and discover through the clip reel that we've put together the range of performances that he has done, and then they'll stay and see The Hunt, which would be a part of the tribute, as well as seeing A Royal Affair, which is playing elsewhere in the festival, two very different kinds of roles that he's in. So I think that we have come up with that kind of a balance this year again.
Wonderful. Cotillard, I mean, there are many, many superstars out there to choose from, you know, this year's version of George Clooney. Why Marion Cotillard?
I think it's important to say that we may have a superstar like a George Clooney or Marion Cotillard, but we're not going after a superstar, and there are many superstars out there that we would never even think of doing a tribute to at Telluride. They may be appropriate for other places, but we're looking for someone who has a particular both a quality in the work that they do and I guess sort of a sophistication about the way they approach things. So maybe the mass public would think of George Clooney as being a big movie star, which he is, but when we looked at him, we thought of him as being an intelligent movie star who has produced and directed a number of films that are not the obvious studio blockbusters at all. He takes real chances with his choices, and is also a person who's very committed to making the world a better place. So as a humanitarian, that kind of came into the thought process as well for us last year. And that he doesn't agree to that, do these kinds of things. Because we're also not looking to do tributes to people that are hopping around from festival to festival doing the same thing. He actually had such a good time as a result of it that he made appearances promoting The Descendants that were kind of unprecedented for him, because really, everybody said, there's no way George Clooney's going to agree to do this. Marion Cotillard has been on our list for a couple of years as somebody we thought is really deserving because she had been a French actress who came up in those movies and became a bigger and bigger French movie star, and then in La Vie en Rose, exploded on the international scene, won an Academy Award, started becoming cast in Hollywood blockbusters, but she has retained the desire to also do smaller films, to do French films, mixed with the films that pay the bills. And so she'd been a very serious contender. And when we went to Cannes and we're looking to see Rust and Bone, we're hoping that we like the film. The director, Jacques Audiard, had been at Telluride with The Prophet a few years ago, and we like his work as well. And then we saw the film. And you know, whatever you think you've seen her do on screen before, she has topped it here. So it was an easy choice on our part. Then the challenge, of course, is getting her to be able to come, because she's at a busy schedule. She's always working on new films in different parts of the world. And so it worked out, and we're thrilled that she's going to be with us.
And what took you so long to get around to Roger Corman? His street cred in Hollywood is extraordinary, and he seems like an extraordinary person. He's sort of a polymath almost in the industry. and beyond. He was an engineering student. What took so long to get around to him?
Well, it's not that we didn't think about him. Corman's been a hero of mine since I was a teenager making my own movies. And I've followed him, and I've known him over through the years. And we've talked about it in the past, but it seemed always that there were a lot of other kind of tributes being done to him. And as I said before, we like to do something different. And this year, there was this film called Corman's World, a documentary about him that was made last year, and it played out around theatrically. And Pierre Rissiant, who's one of our our consultant programmers, was having lunch with Roger, and somehow the conversation came up about Telluride, which Roger's aware of. And I talked to him a couple times about coming to Telluride in the past, and he was sort of uncertain as to whether it was really right for him. But ultimately, everything came together that this seemed to be the great year to have him come and be a part of the festival, and he's very excited about it. He and his wife Julie are going to be both there, and Todd McCarthy, who will be doing the conversation at the Friday Night Tribute, got his start working for Roger Corman, editing trailers and working on ad campaigns, and so lots of very famous people, of course, got their start with him: Martin Scorsese and Jack Nicholson and Francis Coppola and Peter Bogdanovich, and on and on and on and on. But Todd, who is the reporter for the Hollywood Reporter magazine, written a number of books, and is a part of our family, is going to be able to get in there and to do the kind of interview that usually isn't done. And we're going to show this movie, The Corman's World, instead of putting together our own tribute reel. And the reason we decided to do it is it's a terrific movie. It really gives you the inside look at Roger. And by contextualizing it, a feature-length film, rather than us putting together an hour and a half's worth of clips, it makes a lot more sense to see that that way. But it also covers all of the ground, the territory that usually would be covered in an interview with Roger and more. This is going to allow Todd on Friday night, Leonard Maltin on Saturday morning, to dig in and to get at things that don't usually show up in the interviews that we see about Roger Corman.
Okay. Maz Nicholson, we've discussed in our two a bit in one of our previous interviews, but could you define the quality that you think makes him a standout actor?
Well, as with the people that we like the best, he is able to transform himself into so many different kinds of characters. When you watch the clip show that we've put together, you're going to see him go from a fragile male dealing with issues within his family that he doesn't understand, he doesn't know how to overcome, to a kind of a super violent villain, bad guy. The film we showed a few years ago, Flame and Citron, is a film where he's both. He's a guy who's out trying to kill Nazis in this underground and whatever it takes to do it, and that is causing his relationship with his wife to be on very tender grounds. She doesn't know what he does. She just knows that he seems to be very bothered, very disturbed, and distracted from their life. So it's that he is a chameleon. He can be so many different things. And it's interesting, when we were putting the show together and watching, I think we watched about 20 of his feature films, just the hair, the way he had his hair on his head, the way it was cut, whether it was long or shaggy or groomed, and whether he had some scruff on his face or not, transformed his visual look to whatever was the appropriate person for this. And we don't really think of him as being humorous, but there's a film called Green Butchers, which I'd never seen before, where he plays a butcher that sort of a Sweeney Todd kind of a situation that occurs, but he is very funny in the film in a kind of sick way.
Okay. Finally, in the category of special people you're bringing, there is the special medallion winner, C. Chapin Cutler Jr. Could you talk about your relationship with him? I know it's an enduring one and a special one, and his company, Boston Light and Sound.
The film festivals are a difficult thing to produce, as anybody who kind of peeks in and thinks about it can imagine. And when the festival was started by Bill and Stella Pence, Tom Luddy, and James Card from the Eastman House, you had three people who are all perfectionists, all involved in the history of film, the presentation of film, the right way. And if you went to film festivals around the world, and back there, 39 years ago, there weren't that many of them, but there were, you know, a handful of them, inevitably you would have various kinds of technical problems that you would experience as an audience member or as a filmmaker. Oh, can you imagine? There's nothing more devastating for a filmmaker to be sitting there with their audience, and in the middle of the movie, it breaks down, it flutters, something goes wrong with the sound. And this was a particular concern to these directors who started the festival. And they said, we want to have the best projection team in the world, the best equipment in the world. We don't want there to ever be anything going wrong. We understand that it's inevitable that it could happen, but we want to bet against that. And so Bill found Chapin, Boston Light and Sound, and I don't remember exactly what year it was, but they, early in the festival, brought them in to make sure that we had the best equipment and that a team of people in the projection booths would be there to hopefully cover all the bases. So there's not just a single projectionist in our booth. You know, in a lot of places, there's no projectionist who just goes up and starts the show and then goes to the next booth. There's a whole team in every single one of those projection booths making sure that the picture and the sound are absolutely what they need to be. And festivals like Sundance, for example, you go and there'd be just technical problems you couldn't believe. And we took it upon ourselves as the people with Telluride to tell our friends at other festivals, you know, you need to up your game. This is not fair to your audiences and your filmmakers. And we think that Boston Light and Sound could help you solve the problems. And so now many festivals around the world, not all who we told, some started hearing about it, bring them to wherever it is, to whether it's in the Emirates to a festival or Europe or, you know, to Sundance, to make sure that it's a good show. And we just thought, it's time for us to celebrate these people that have made it so great for the people who come to Telluride. And for us, too. We don't get complaints like a lot of other places used to get. So we decided to bring them along. They just cover all the bases, projection and sound and presentation. The Napoleon showing that was at the Paramount in Oakland earlier this year, they came out and they did that, had to install a set of, you know, three sets of projectors and a triptych screen. If you remember, Napoleon played in Telluride way back when, outdoors in the park with the three screens and the three projectors. And this is the newest restoration that had been done. And it was quite a project. And Chapin was sitting there, standing in the auditorium, all four of those performances, and it's 6 hours long, making sure that everything was right. And at the first intermission, he saw me and he said, anything I should know about? And actually, I spotted a light in the backstage that was coming through, and from a certain seat in the theater, you could see a little light coming through the picture. And they went back there, they made sure that it got corrected, you know.
Perfect.
So we honor and cherish the work that Chapin and Boston Light and Sound do for us and for, again, the audiences and the filmmakers.
Thank you very much, Gary. This has been Susan V. Rock, Telluride Inside and Out, an ongoing series of conversations about the 39th Annual Telluride Film Festival. This one has been about tributees and the Special Medallion winner. Gary, see you over the weekend.
Absolutely. Look forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you.